Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you out there listening today. Before we get into the message today, I want to give you an update what is going on here in Africa. We're starting to get rains. Praise God for that. Kenya has been so dry. Some places here in Kenya have not had decent rain for 2 or 3 years. And now they say there's 6 million people across the nation of Kenya, mostly in the east and north of Nairobi, that are in drought and famine conditions. 6 million people that are on the verge of starvation and famine, and some of them already seriously into famine. And I have a friend, a pastor friend over near Narok, south of Nairobi, in the Maasai country, and they've lost millions of their livestock, cattle and goats and sheep. And so it's a very difficult time for Kenya. Here in the west, we have pretty lush rains that have been coming the last week, and so we have been blessed with an abundance of rain, and we thank the Lord for that. And it's going to continue to rain. Even today it looks like rain. And so keep praying for Kenya. It's a very precarious political situation time also in Kenya. The opposition party is calling for mass demonstrations next Monday, and that is to protest the price of food, the price of gasoline, all the costs of living. Just like every place else in the world, the cost of living here in Kenya has risen dramatically in the last year. And so the opposition is taking to the streets. They're going to have mass protests in Nairobi. And the history of these kind of protests and these kind of demonstrations, the history has not been good. It usually leads to violence and a lot of people getting displaced from their businesses being ransacked and destroyed. And so keep that in your prayers, that the political situation here in Kenya will simmer down and that there will not be a lot of violence and not be a lot of bloodshed. And so keep that in your prayers as you think about Kenya in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Our children are home from school right now. We have a 4 or 5 day midterm break, they call it. The next Monday they'll be going back to school. And the other aspect of our ministry, the church, is going well. We have about 100 regular members. Sometimes with the children, the attendance at the church goes up to 200. And so we're pretty well packed in the church. We need to build a bigger church. Although we've only been there 3 years, we need to build a bigger church to accommodate the future expansion. So keep that in your prayers as well. I just returned from a trip to Burundi and had a wonderful trip over there. It was a long, grueling bus ride, and I took my pastor associate Zephaniah with me, and we went to Bujumbura first and took care of some business there at the U.S. Embassy in Bujumbura, and then went to a four-square church in Bujumbura, preached there, then went out to northeast Burundi at a place called Ngozi. Looks to be a town of maybe 30 or 40,000, maybe 50,000, and we preached in a magnificent church. I have a pastor friend, Sergis M. Sabimana, there in Ngozi, and we preached there at his magnificent church. It's probably the most beautiful, magnificent church I've ever preached in, and I've preached in many churches over the years, and this is probably the most magnificent church I've ever preached in. I'm talking about the building, and it's a four-square church. You guys that have been to the movie Jesus Revolution, you know a little bit about the four-square. It was started by Pastor Chuck Smith, and some of the people coming out of the Jesus movement back in the early 70s. And so this four-square church is the anchor church for the four-square churches in Burundi, of which there are 340 or so four-square churches in the country of Burundi. So anyway, keep all of that in your prayers. We're looking forward to planting. We've done some planting of the maize and beans and the spring crops, and then we have another acre or so yet to plant. And so keep all of that in your prayers And keep in your prayers the school project. We want to build a school on that acre that we have next to the children's home. We need about $100,000 to do that. And so keep that in your prayers as we think about the future of Makunda Village. We're building a little Christian village inside of a Muslim village. And so that is where God has stationed us. A lot of warfare goes with that kind of activity, but this is where God has placed us. And so we're happy to be battling for the kingdom of God in Kenya, in Makunda Village. Well, today we're going to be talking about the end times. This is Matthew 24, one of the most dynamic chapters in the New Testament. And Jesus, it's all red letter stuff in my Bible. If you have a red letter Bible, you know it's nearly all the words of Jesus, Matthew 24, Matthew 25, and a little bit of Matthew 26 is the words of Jesus. And Jesus makes a statement here in Matthew 24, verse 36, of that day and hour, he's talking about his return, of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And so this is a definitive statement by Jesus Christ. He said, no one knows when I'm coming back. No one knows the hour or the time. And so don't be deceived, beloved. Don't be deceived by anyone that tries to tell you Jesus is coming back a certain day, a certain time, a certain month, a certain year, whatever. There's whole denominations in America, whole denominations that are now around the world that have been founded on this particular principle that they were naming when the return of Jesus Christ was going to be. They were declaring specific divine revelation that they knew when Jesus was coming back. That is a false prophet. Anybody that tries to do that, that's a false prophet. Disregard it. Discount it. Believe God's word when Jesus says, no one knows. And so to follow up to that, I'm going to throw in here Matthew 24, verse 14. And it says, this is also the words of Jesus, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Let me repeat that again. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So we have a lot of work to do. There are hundreds of millions, probably billions, come to Africa. You'll see some of them. Come to Africa, you'll see some tribes that have never heard the word of Jesus, that have never had a simple explanation of the gospel message, the good news of the gospel, preached to them, explained to them. What does salvation mean? What does atonement mean? What does the blood sacrifice of Jesus mean? What does repentance mean? What does confession mean? If you want to see some people that have never heard that, come to Africa and you will see some, you will find some. And so we have a lot of work to do. The point I'm trying to make here, we have a lot of work to do before the gospel is preached in all the world. So don't sit around there in America in your nicely padded pew at your church and say, come Jesus, come, get us out of this mess. Come Jesus, hurry up, get us out of this mess, this inflation mess or this crime mess or transgender mess or whatever mess you look at in the world, in the USA. Don't sit around expecting Jesus to come rescue you out of that when you're not doing anything to preach the gospel in all the world. Now, if you're listening to this broadcast today, praise God for that. And I would also throw in here also that we preach crusades here in Africa. We preach church revivals. We minister to the poor, the rich, the poor, the lame, the blind, everybody else in between. And you can help do that. You can help do that. You don't have to come to Africa. I'm not saying you do. But what I am saying is The gospel has to be preached in all the world, and then the end will come. That's what the Bible says. The gospel will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So I don't think, and I'm not making a prediction here, if God wants to send Jesus back today, praise God, I'm ready for it. I'm all for it. But I don't think we have preached the gospel in all the nations. Come to Africa, go to India, go to South America, go to Asia. There are places where many people, many tribes, whole tribes, tongues, and ethnic groups have not been penetrated with the gospel. And so if you want to see Jesus come back sooner, get busy sharing the gospel, and maybe Jesus will come back sooner if we can get the gospel out to all the nations. So that's all I'm going to say about that, is that don't waste your time trying to predict when Jesus is coming back, and don't sit on the edge of your chair expecting it to happen anytime soon. Just be ready if it does, but in the meantime, occupy, pray and watch, and occupy and get busy doing what you can. Maybe all it is is send a check, and I shouldn't say that's all it is, because that's a critical component. As you send, we can go. If that's all you can do, praise God, do it. If that's what you can do the best, write a big check. Give it to a missionary. Give it to a radio broadcast. Give it to a television broadcast. Give it to your local church. Do something to spread the gospel, that people who have never heard the good news of the gospel can hear it, can respond, can make a decision. And in the meantime, you pray for them, that your money, if that's what you're doing, that your money will propel people and send people and take people on mission trips, take people in places where people have never heard the gospel. Buy Bibles where people can have a Bible and actually look at it, hold it in their hand and read it. Not like Americans, where we have 7 Bibles in every house and most of them don't get read. People here are hungry for the good news of the gospel. They're hungry for a Bible. And so when you give them a Bible, it becomes usually a treasured possession in their home. So let's go back to Matthew 24, and in verse 37, Jesus says, "But as in the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man." Well, what did he mean by that? As the days of Noah. What happened in the days of Noah? So we can go back to Genesis chapter 6, and we can look and see what the earth was like, what the people were doing, what was going on in the days of Noah, and we can say, does this look anything like the days of Noah, this contemporary landscape that we see? Does it look anything like the days of Noah? Well, Genesis 6 says, "Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose." Well, there's much debate in theological circles about who the sons of God are. I believe they're the sons of Seth. They are the ones who received the demonic teaching from the fallen angels. And they received it to the point where they became very perverted in their thinking, very perverted in their actions. There was all kinds of sexual perversion. There was all kinds of demonic stuff going on, witchcraft, sorcery, pharmakia, metallurgy, things that man was not meant to know. But after the fall of man, the angels taught men these things. And so they became very demonic in their thinking, to the point where every single person on the face of the earth was defiled. Their bloodline was defiled, except for one family. And that was Noah and his wife, his sons and their wives. One family was pure enough, still had the pure DNA, still had the bloodline that could bring about the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so this bloodline had come from Adam. And so this bloodline was the bloodline that God allowed to live on the ark He allowed it to live and survive the flood, and everyone else was wiped out. Well, the Lord says here in Genesis 6, chapter 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever. For he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days and also afterward, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, and these were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Well, these giants were the offspring of the demonic defilement, the demonic coupling of the sons of God and the daughters of men, and these offspring then were freaks. They were physical freaks, genetic freaks. Their bloodline was defiled, their DNA was defiled, and so they could not carry the bloodline on as Noah and his family did. And so God said, I'm not going to strive with them. My spirit won't strive with this man forever. His flesh and his days shall be 120 years. Prior to that time, they were living a long time. Methuselah, 960 some years. All of the saints of old were living many, many years, hundreds and hundreds of years. And the Lord said in verse 5, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And the Lord said, verse 7, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. Well, can you imagine the God of all creation, God of the universe, saying as he looked down at his creation, as he looked down at man, he's saying, they are so wicked, they're so defiled, they're so perverted, their blood is so polluted, I can't strive with them. I'm sorry I made them. And so now I'm going to clean the slate. I'm going to wipe out all of the people on the face of the earth, except for one family, Noah and his wife and his family found favor with the Lord. They weren't sinless. They weren't perfect, but they found favor with the Lord. And God said, I'm going to put you in the ark, and I'm going to preserve you so that out of your bloodline can come the Savior for all mankind, Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior. Well, God did what he said he was going to do. He said he was going to wipe out man from across the earth, and he wiped him out with the flood. Noah was a man of faith. He built the ark while people were mocking him. He built the ark while people were walking past saying, what's that fool Noah doing up there for 100 years building on this ark? Can't possibly be that much rain. They'd never even seen rain up to that point. Noah was faithful. He was building the ark. And so as a result, he and his family went into the ark with the animals that God pointed out, the clean animals that God pointed out for him to take into the ark. And they were all preserved when it started to flood. So back to Matthew 24:37, it says, just as in the days of Noah, when they were eating and drinking, verse 38, in the days of Noah, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. And so we looked at what it was like in the days of Noah, and we look at what it's like now in America, what it's like in other countries. We don't have the same demonic issues, not totally. We have some of the same identical ones that you do in America, but America has its own specific principalities and powers over that great nation. We have specific principalities and powers over Kenya, but we have in America the same kind of perversion now that is sweeping through the nation, this transgender woke theology that is sweeping through the nation, is being pushed by demonic politicians, being pushed by evil agendas, and in encapsulating or capturing our young people with this demonic ideology of transgenderism and all of this perversion. And so as we look at the landscape, across the landscape of the United States of America, we see, yes, it's looking just like in the days of Noah. It's looking just, yeah, people get married, people are giving in marriage, people are getting married, people are going to football games, people are going to bars, people are having their family reunions, but the spiritual landscape across America is starting to look just like as in the days of Noah. So people are scoffing and say, well, you say Jesus is coming back. You say that there's going to be another flood. Yes, beloved, there's going to be another flood, only it's going to be a judgment of fire. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. We don't know the day or the hour. But in the meantime, be ready, watch and pray, occupy, be ready. But also, for those of you, I'm speaking to you now, who are born-again believers and call yourself a part of the body of Christ, and you are a born-again believer, and you know the importance of the gospel message. You know what it did in your life, the relationship you have with Jesus Christ, and how it transformed your life, and how the message, the good news of the gospel, gave you hope, gave you joy, gave you peace, gave you deliverance. You know how that has affected you. I say to you today, do something for the gospel. Do something. If you're listening to this broadcast, I'm going to make an appeal at the end for you to support projects we're doing here in Africa. Praise God for that. Let it convict you. Let it encourage you. Let it provoke you to do something to promote the gospel so that people outside of the USA, outside of your church, outside of your family, whatever, can know the good news of the gospel. And people who aren't saved, people who are lost and condemned on their way to hell, can know the good news of the gospel, can know that their sins are forgiven, can know that Jesus Christ can be their Lord and their Savior. And if you'll do that today, you're going to have a peace about you. You're going to have a joy, because the blessing of giving, the blessing of sending, the blessing of seeing people get saved will compound in your life. It will give you peace. It will give you joy. It will make you want to do something more for the kingdom. And that is God's will for your life. And so back to verse 39 in Matthew chapter 24. And they did not know until the time the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Beloved, there were people on that day, in the day of Noah, there were people standing around looking at that ark, and they felt the first sprinkles start to hit them on the head. And they have been mocking, walking by that ark every single day, watching Noah build it, and mocking him, saying, that fool Noah, now he's got a bunch of animals over there. How in the world is he going to feed those animals? They were mocking him, calling him a fool, calling him stupid and an idiot. And then the sprinkles started falling on their head. And they were going, what is this hitting on my head? It's starting to rain. And then they were standing in the water with the water up to their ankles. And they were saying, wonder what's going on here. Then the water was up to their knees. And they were starting to wonder, maybe Noah did know something. And a short time later, the water was up to their neck, and they were saying, Noah, Noah, is there room in that ark for one more person? The ark is a picture of Jesus Christ. The ark is a picture of his salvation, his plan for your life. The ark is a picture of his love for you. The ark is a picture of his peace, where you can have peace that passes all understanding. His ark is a picture of a strong tower, The Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are saved. Beloved, Jesus Christ cares for you. He went to the cross. He died for you. He says in his own words, I have the power to lay down my life and to pick it up again. He says in his own words, I came to save the world from their sins. I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to save the world. I came to destroy the works of the devil. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said, I came to give you life and to give you life abundantly. Beloved, Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. He shed his perfect, precious blood for you, that you can know him for all eternity. You can have a relationship with him. You can spend all eternity in heaven with him. And you can live here on earth having a heavenly anointing, a heavenly glory about you, a heavenly peace about you, the peace that comes when you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Get down on your knees today. Repent. Confess of your sins. Repent. Turn from your wicked ways. Find a good church that will baptize you, some deacons, elders, pastors that are preaching and teaching out of God's Word, the true gospel. Get baptized. Let me know if you make that decision. You can email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. Let me know so that I can rejoice with you and we can get you some literature on your way to your new walk, your new creation in Jesus Christ. Let me know that we can rejoice with you. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.